Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Morning, everyone. We're here for public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
Item number 7 is approval of task order 25-126 in the amount of $137,073.60 for engineering design of structural improvements to the Navarre Beach Bridge. In the backup, you'll see the scope outlined in better detail. This is some pending work that staff has been talking about for quite some time now. Road and Bridge has been trying to get the best possible price, but the reality is we have a report from DOT that says there's some items that need to happen to continue to extend the useful life of the bridge. This is simply to get the ball rolling on that, and it's included in the Road and Bridge fund from this current fiscal year.
All right, Jared Lowe, the assistant county manager for Santa Rosa County, explaining the item. We got $137,000 we got to spend on engineering to figure out all the remedies we've got to apply to the Navarre Beach Bridge in order to keep that bridge functional. FDOT's given us a list. The actual project itself is going to be a lot more than $136,000, a couple million dollars, certainly. And we've been having this long conversation about replacing that bridge and putting a toll on that bridge and not putting a toll on that bridge. We've got, the toll plaza hokey pokey going on over there. And Ray Eddington, never one to miss an opportunity to make it sound worse than it really is.
If we don't do this, and it's a sore subject for me about this bridge.
Right.
But if we do not do this, FDOT will shut the bridge down.
Wait, what? They're going to shut down the Navarre Beach Causeway?
Did he just say that?
Oh, yeah. He goes on.
And that's the bad thing about it. That's more money we spend in putting Band-Aids on. And I appreciate you helping me with people up FDOT and everywhere else in D.C. trying to get a new bridge. I really appreciate that. And we don't keep on working on that. But if we don't do this, they will shut it down. And we got to do it.
Sir. Nobody's shutting down the Navarre Beach Causeway. I mean, yes, we have to do repairs in order to satisfy FDOT. But this is like, maybe if we didn't do these repairs, possibly in a decade, they'd come and do something with. I mean, he makes it sound like we got to vote for this or else next week that bridge is going to get closed. Come on now. That's not.
FDOT will shut the bridge down.
No, they're not. No, they're not shutting down a bridge.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, so fine. Whatever. Meanwhile, rats.
We have had several recent issues with the facility that we're in now.
The probation building.
Probably the biggest and most important one is pestilence in the building. Bats, rats, bugs, things like that. We recently had an officer that was injured because a defendant
that's not good
became violent, and there's very small, very cramped conditions in there. So those are factors that need to be taken into. I believe this new building will resolve that once we get it built like we want it.
This is Jason English, the clerk, explaining that. So cool. We're going to move him out of the rat trap. We talked about this a little bit with Brad Baker on Tuesday. You may have missed that conversation, but the Trust for Public Land, Will Aberger, gave a presentation. He's a financial director, and talked about how many different ways the Trust for Public Land has been expanding conservation land over the years, making public land available for the people to use, partnering with state, local, military to make this happen, and wanting to increase funding sources in order to not so much buy land, because buying land is expensive and then you have to maintain it, but, buying the development rights, basically paying people to not develop or to keep it, downzoned, essentially. That's what they're looking for. Now, he says they've been doing this through ballot measures, and there are several different options. And the more he talked about it, the more I worried, are you proposing a tax in Santa Rosa County? Because it sounds like you're proposing a tax. You could do a straight bond, and then people would pay for that, $24 out of ad valorem, basically, per household. You could do a bond with property tax, a 0.15 mil. This is like $28 per person per year. It's a very small amount. But, tax increase is the third rail of politics in Santa Rosa County. I mean, if you're for a tax increase, you're just not getting reelected. often, and they're worried about this because the local option sales tax renewal is coming up. Third option is another, just a straight property tax increase, $20 a year, 0.15 mils. Then this is the one that's actually going to get a little bit of traction.
The last option that we looked at, and the one that I think we'd like to explore further with you and would recommend taking that next step to actually ask Santa Rosa County voters what they feel about this, is the option of a local option sales tax. This is the infrastructure sales tax, as it's called in Florida. At a half a cent, it would generate about $16 million a year and have an impact of about $97 a year in additional sales taxes on the median household here in Santa Rosa County.
So what he's saying there is an extra half cent local option sales tax for conservation, which I think has a 0% chance of passing. But if you instead think, hey, maybe we should use some of the renewal, we should promise the people that the renewal is going to go for roads, and it's going to go for stormwater, and it's going to go for conservation, and maybe give them a percentage, that people will be more likely to go for that, because as Rhett Rawl explains, people do care about conservation land. And this is being done not because they're wanting to apply a new tax, not because they're wanting to add a half. I mean, he may want, but the commissioner is certainly not going to go for this. They know. But Rhett Rawl is like, hey, yeah, this actually makes sense. If we get people excited about the things we can do with, you know, the money, they'll be willing to trust us to renew it. I'll play the clip in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110, let's see here, 29. All look good this morning. Not seeing any delays. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So back to Rhett Rawl, Commissioner for District 3, talking. He's been very big on conservation land. Of course, the North End is more the farmland area. That's his territory. It's all their territory, but, you know, they all kind of have their zone. Just like in Escambia, only difference is that you can vote for anybody in Santa Rosa, and in Escambia, you can only vote for your guy. So, or your girl, you know, as Ashley Hoffberg happens to be District 4 right now. Anyway, Rhett Rawl.
Gentlemen, I'm extremely interested in this. I think this this is what I truly feel that our when we get our research, you know, if that's whether we decide to go with you know, a proven, you know, group like the public lands group, but or if we try to do this ourselves or whatever, I feel like the voters of Santa Rosa County have spoken very loudly that conservation is essential to them.
If I can speak for the voters of Santa Rosa County only as a person who's watched a lot of these meetings and talking with people, I do think people care about conservation. I think they care more about the roads and the stormwater and not clear-cutting so much. And, you know, like the overdevelopment that is they feel is leading to a lot of the other problems that we're having. They do care about conservation. They believe in it, but I don't think that's their tier one voting. I think that's their tier two or three, which it's fine to sweeten the pot with that. It's fine to say, hey, if we're going to renew the local option sales tax, we promise to use some of that money for conservation. Because that's going to catch a slice of the population that maybe don't care as much about the roads and traffic and the, you know, stormwater and clear cutting and that kind of stuff. I mean, clear cutting is a little bit related to both, really. But he says this is a sweetener we can put into this in order to, you know, get the local option sales tax renewal done. And, you know, that's the value of it.
And I do feel like the best opportunity we have for the renewal is to put some language in our renewal for a substantial conservation percentage.
Now, of course, my understanding is they could use it right now for that. They could use local option sales tax right now to do this. They don't need to make it an official line item, so to speak, in the, you know, the delineated purchases. But, you know, that makes people feel good and makes them willing to vote for it, because it's not just it's a should, right? Colton Wright, same concept. He's on board.
I agree with Commissioner Rawl that we should certainly be making a diligent effort. And we have been. I think of the 545 acres in the Navarre area.
Right. They've done work up at Whiting. I mean, there's conservation stuff going on all over. And I think TPL is a good organization. They put on a kayaking thing down Coldwater Creek that we went on last year. That, you know, they're doing a lot of good stuff. And, you know, it may not be the sexiest thing to say we bought 500 acres or 100 acres or 50 acres and we're putting, or we're transferring development rights, so we're putting into conservation status. But it's the kind of thing that long term you're like, man, somebody thought ahead, like Teddy Roosevelt. You know, somebody thought ahead and made it so that we have a Fort Pickens, or that we have a, you know, Grand Canyon or Yellowstone, or, you know, like somebody has to plan for this kind of stuff. And so this is what Santa Rosa County, the commissioners are trying to do. So this is not on the agenda for this morning, okay? But at least I don't think it is. I looked through the agenda already. I didn't see it on there. But, you know, this is what they're going to aim at. They're going to aim at the renewal for the local option sales tax is going to be for traffic, stormwater, and for conservation is how they're going to sell it. Which, I mean, you know, they're trying desperately to find a way to make sure they get this passed because they need the money. You know, and plus, if we're looking at property taxes ending, you know, right? Like, all you know, a local option sales tax is not a property tax, so it's a revenue stream that won't be affected by whatever the legislature decides to do. Which, by the way, the legislature has put forward that they've got one vote on property tax stuff that's ready for the floor, and it's, I don't know, it's. You know me, I hate property taxes, but I don't think they're serious about any of this stuff because they're not saying how else they'll get their money. And if you take away a funding mechanism, you don't provide an alternative funding mechanism, how will cities and counties pay their bills? It's funny because they're putting rules in that say, well, you can't cut the police, and now they're adding like firefighters and, you know, emergency medical and 911. And what they're trying to do is say, if we take away your revenue, you cannot cut your spending. The typical Tallahassee unfunded mandate. And in this case, it's actually, what we should call it is a defunded mandate. Like, you're going to have to pay for this stuff, and you cannot make money this way. And I want them to not make money this way, but I'm not dumb. I know they're going to have to make it somehow. They're going to have to make it through sales taxes or fees or assessments somehow or other. But the current proposal that they're putting up, HJR 209, is a $200,000... You know how right now you get the first, the first 25 and then the third 25 and then, anyway, your homestead exemption is going to be $200,000. So instead of being kind of what it is now, that's one of the proposals. And, you know, we'll see if that goes to the ballot. We'll see if how it does. There's probably going to be other ones as well. But, again, you're not going to dramatically change the budget of the cities and the counties, I don't think. You're just going to have to find the revenue from another source. Because, you know, the counties and the cities are already struggling to pay the bills because of the high cost of labor and the high cost of everything. And, you know, though President Trump may think he's not a sexy enough man, that he's not interesting enough, like we don't have Jim Cramer running the Fed. You know, he did yesterday explain that things suck right now kind of for people. And the reason they're cutting rates is because prices are still high and wages are not high enough. And that's where we are. No matter what President Trump tells you, the economy is not singing along. For a lot of people, the market may be doing great, all-time records, but are people still struggling? And the answer is yes, because ground beef is $8 a pound.
We hear loud and clear how people are experiencing really costs. It's really high costs. And a lot of that is not the current rate of inflation. A lot of that is just embedded higher cost due to higher inflation in 2022 and 23. We're going to need to have some years where real compensation is higher, you know, it's positive, significantly positive. So nominal wages are higher than inflation for people to start feeling good about affordability.
Right. I mean, he's saying the exact opposite of what the president's saying. So now the president's coming out and saying, well, he's a stiff. Bro, you hate everybody who disagrees with you. So, you know, sell me a story with facts. 623 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hey, Andrew.
What
we've
now?
Got those tickets to give away.
Oh, all right, fine.
Don't forget, my friend.
There is a show Friday. That's tomorrow, Christmas on the Coast, Pensacola Children's Chorus. And I have a pair for you. We'll give another pair away later for a different show. But here's the thing. Friday, one pair. You can win right now. Be fast. Caller number 1-437-1620 if you want to go tomorrow night.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years. How do you know when to buy or sell? You'll need an expert to help you. Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Leavenworth Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The holidays mean more travel, more shopping, more time online, and more personal info in more places that could expose you more to identity theft. But LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, our U.S.-based restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Don't face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or financial losses alone. Get more holiday fun and less holiday worry with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS. Visit LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
6,000 children depend on your compassion this holiday season. WEAR-TV's Communities Caring at Christmas brings dignity and joy to vulnerable families in our community. Give online at communitiescaringatchristmas.com or deliver new unwrapped toys to WEAR-TV, Sandy Sansing Dealerships, or News Radio 92.3. Your donation supports foster children, children in poverty, and adults with developmental disabilities. Please support Communities Caring at Christmas.
Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight?
It will be an honor, sir.
From all of us at the WEAR Morning News, and there's a lot more of us than you see every day on TV, we certainly wish you happy holidays.
From our family to yours, all the joys of the season.
Hi, this is Sheriff Chip Simmons wishing you a safe holiday season. Remember, please don't text and drive.
Hi, I'm Steve Taylor, and I usually hang out in the newsroom at News Radio 92.3. I'd like to wish everybody a happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year.
Incidentally, would any of you like to stay on a bit and help us with our work? There's still so much wealth to redistribute.
Oh, I'd like to stay.
Jolly good.
You know, sadly, it wasn't until I was an adult that I realized Robin Hood was a socialist. 626 on News Radio 92.3.
Really?
Well, he takes from the rich and he gives to the poor. I mean, if that's not socialism, you know. Well, it was an unjust tax collected in the first place. He was just remedying the oppressive tax system. He was more the American revolutionaries, you know, breaking into the boats and dumping the tea over. He was doing. Yeah, so, okay. All right, sure. You know, style it however you want. You say what is our own mom done, he says. Let's see. John Pickens has got traffic on the five.
Says, okay. I'm sorry. We're still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110 look good. 90, 98 just east of Navarre Beach Bridge going eastbound. Just seeing a minor delay, but that's it. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Goes around robbing maidens of their virtue. I mean, this is your hero? Okay, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
All right, good morning. Seem to have lost my mouse again. Where did it? There we go. All right.
Why don't you check the probation center in Santa Rosa County? Oh, look at that deep cut callback joke.
Oh, that was, woo.
Somebody who works in probation is dying on the car right now.
Oh, yeah.
Go on. Oh, yes, they didn't say they had mice. They said rats, right?
Yeah,
rats
but the same
and snakes
thing.
And yeah. Okay, sure.
Rats and snakes.
We'll go ahead.
All right. Foreign tourists may soon have to submit the last 5 years of their social media history in order to visit the U.S. Customs and Border Protection says it's planning to add social media as a mandatory data element for its travel authorization application. Under this new rule, visitors would be asked to provide their social media accounts used in the last 5 years.
Well, this is certainly not going to affect tourism in a place that depends on tourism, like Florida. Go on.
Yeah, absolutely. Nobel Prize winner Maria Corina Machado has made her first public appearance in about a year. Venezuela's opposition leader was cheered by a large crowd at Oslo, Norway Hotel on Wednesday, just hours after her daughter accepted the Nobel Peace Prize on her behalf. Machado's been in hiding since January. And, boy, a lot of evacuations near Seattle as the rain there is causing flooding throughout the state of Washington. Evacuation orders in place for residents living near rivers near Seattle and Tacoma. And they're saying up to 100,000 people are being evacuated.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. 437-1620. a friend said she didn't understand cloning. I told her that makes two of us.
Oh,
yeah, so there it is. Oh, how about this one? Just for fun. I don't know. I still do things sometimes. People wonder what in the heck this show is about. And that's fine. John, you know the phrase in the Pledge of Allegiance, One Nation, Indivisible, right?
Yeah.
You know, the last time the United States was, in fact, one nation, indivisible, because we're certainly very divisible right now. The last time we were one nation, indivisible, technically, was 113 years ago. From January 6th to February 13th of 1912. This was after Oklahoma had become a state, but New Mexico had not yet done so. During this period, there were 47 states, indivisible.
Oh, boy. Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I'm glad the news is coming up.
Come on.
Boo.
Hey. Hey. I don't know.
Useless knowledge.
And you want a Marconi.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to believe sometimes, isn't it? Look, I'm here to entertain me. If you are entertained, then that's great. Wes Moreno, County Administrator, will show up next for Escambia County. We've got a meeting today. Lots of stuff to talk about.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. Capture on the high seas. Fox has obtained the video of U.S. troops landing on a Venezuelan oil tanker. President Trump with few words.
It was seized for very good reason.
With a load of illegal sanctioned Iranian and Venezuelan oil. Trump policy advisor Stephen Miller tells Fox the Maduro and other regimes use ghost fleets to evade sanctions and finance terror activities. While the House passed a huge defense authorization bill last night, including a 3.8% raise for the troops, and the Senate votes on dueling health care proposals. Michigan football coach Sharon Moore fired and then jailed on assault accusations shortly after he was fired on evidence of an inappropriate relationship with a staff member. He's married, father of three. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 41 degrees with clear skies. And, of course, we'll get to our forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. Local officials making a full court press to bring a new Coast Guard training center to Pensacola. Senator Ashley Moody, Congressman Jimmy Patronis, leading the effort to locate the facility at NAS Pensacola. The Coast Guard is expanding. We'll need to train up to 15,000 new personnel.
Communities have to fight for opportunities like this. It's going to take an all hands on deck to make it happen.
That's Escambia County Commissioner Mike Kohler, and he says the training center would transform economic impact on the county. NAS Pensacola, of course, already has the infrastructure, he says, that the Department of Homeland Security requires land, housing, office space, medical facilities. A decision on that is expected in coming months. UWF's interim president, Manny Diaz Jr., faced some questions yesterday during a public forum. He's, of course, been named the sole finalist for the president job. The decision has raised some eyebrows. Faculty and staff questioned whether naming just one candidate would violate state regulations that require at least three finalists.
Why do you think you were the only named candidate going against BOG regulations that require at least three candidates to be named?
That was a search committee decision, and it was made within the purview of the exceptions to the stated rules. I don't want to get too much into the legalese there.
The search consultant there defending that choice. Diaz also addressed questions about office renovation spending. He dismissed reports of a $1 million budget as being misleading. His confirmation process has been a bit contentious, with trustee Zach Smith leading the search, facing some strong community backlash. Smith's Florida Senate confirmation hearing has now been canceled twice. Well, we are heading into what could be a record-breaking holiday travel season. AAA says 122 million Americans are expected to travel at least 50 miles between December 20th and New Year's Day. That's up 2% from last year. More than 8 million people will be flying.
Saturday and Sunday going into Christmas are going to be bad, as is the day after Christmas. That's Friday, December 26th. If you can travel on Christmas Day, that is going to be the best time to travel. If you can afford to leave your festivities perhaps a little bit early.
NBC's Brian Chung, officials say the best thing you can do is to plan ahead. Orlando topping the list of U.S. destinations this year, followed by Anaheim, New York, and Las Vegas. For international travel, Cancun is at the top of the list. Now, the governor's new budget delivers on priorities that have made Florida the greatest state in America. That's what Governor DeSantis said yesterday while releasing his $117 billion budget for the 2026-27 fiscal year. It's about $2 billion bigger than the current budget, over $40 billion dollars of that would go towards education, more than $30 billion for K-12 funding. The governor said that is a new record. Now, there's a major fight over health care costs unfolding in Washington. Senators voting on whether to extend federal tax credits that help lower insurance premiums for millions of Americans. Florida Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz says letting those credits lapse would hit vulnerable groups the hardest. She says especially senior citizens.
Some of them, particularly those that are older, like in their 70s, are deciding to go back to work because they don't make enough from Social Security. And they're also facing insurance premium increases.
Senator Rick Scott pushing an alternative option that would let the credits expire and replace them with contributions to Trump Health Freedom accounts. At the state level, Florida leads the nation in Affordable Care Act signups, meaning residents here could feel the impact whichever way it goes more than most. 635 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
Yes, I do. Let's see here. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 look good. Highway 29, both northbound and southbound as you approach 9 Mile Road in either direction, is showing just some minor slowdowns. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be seeing a lovely day today with plenty of sunshine, high near 58 degrees by this afternoon. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 46. For Friday, mostly sunny skies, high near 67 degrees. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 58. Going into Saturday, plenty of sunshine, high near 70 degrees. And Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 58. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. We've got 41 degrees, clear skies right now. Your next news in 30 minutes, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Remember when washing machines were made in America, were solidly built, and actually got your clothes clean? They aren't a thing of the past. They are Speed Queen, and they are available at Tops Appliance. Speed Queen washer and dryers combine durability and technology into the best washers and dryers in the world. Speed Queen will change the way you think about washing machines. They're built to last longer and deliver exceptional wash results. Unlike many other washers and dryers with plastic parts, Speed Queen uses commercial-grade steel and porcelain components designed to give you at least 25 years of reliable, trouble-free operation. That's why they come with lifetime warranties, the best warranties in the business. See store for warranty details. Speed Queen washers and dryers are built to work and built to last. If you want durability, innovation, and perfectly done laundry the first time, then you want Speed Queen. See these great Speed Queen washers and dryers for yourself at Tops Appliance on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
Welcome back to Winter Hack Radio, the place for clever hacks to survive the season. Icy driveway? Well, try spreading sand or bird seed to help with traction. Snowy puppy paws? Well, grab a whisk, brush it off, done. Catch COVID-19? Well, just get...
Actually, there's no hack for COVID-19. But if you test positive, prescription medications for COVID exist. Ask your doctor if they're right for you. Visit PfizerForAll.com to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
You know Squeegee Squad for spotless windows and powerful pressure washing. But this holiday season, let there be light. From classic Christmas lights to Govee permanent lighting, Squeegee Squad designs a custom look that fits your home perfectly. And hey, get off the ladder! Their licensed, insured pros handle the install, the detail, and the dazzle. Residential or commercial, windows, power washing, gutter cleaning, Christmas lights, and Govee lights, Squeegee Squad does it all. Less hassle, more ho ho ho. Call Squeegee Squad and light up your holidays.
CVS Health supports people in the moments that matter, from picking up a prescription to connecting care. With nearly 5 million daily interactions and serving 185 million consumers and 1.5 million healthcare professionals, CVS Health holds a trusted place in healthcare. By simplifying care and improving health, we're helping people get the care they need. Learn more at cvshealth.com/investorday. That's cvshealth.com/investorday.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about.
Hi, this is Mary Hoxing. Merry Christmas, Pensacola. As we gather with family and friends this Christmas season, may your hearts be filled with joy and your homes with laughter. Wishing you all peace, love, and warmth from our family to yours. Merry Christmas.
Hi, I'm Front Desk Tina, and I'm wishing you and yours a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
What do you say? 6:39 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. My skill set and my brain is to hear everything wrong, and when you say Idaho, I hear it wrong. Wes Moreno is the Escambia. I hear it. Sorry. I just do. That's how my brain works. Who was the old radio jock that got in trouble for some of his comments on the air? Don Imus?
Oh, I thought it was Howard Stern, but we'll just go with this one.
Anyway, let's just move on. Escambia County, he's dying, I'm sure. Escambia County Administrator Wes Moreno is on the line with us. Wes, I won't bother to try to apologize for bringing you on just this way, but hey, good to have you on the show, sir. We got a meeting today. Welcome back.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. It's great to be here, as always.
Great to have you. So I literally have 16 things on my agenda to talk with you about, things that are either going at the meeting or not, but I know we will not get to it all. But I do want a couple of quick clarify things. People are very eager to find out what the process is going to be for the fishing bridge. Demolition is supposed to start this month, right? And then supposed to be done the project. Give us a timeline.
So, yeah, it's going to start this month. They'll start mobilizing, getting ready to do the demolition. And then we'll move forward, of course, with the new construction. The timeline, I would say, would be middle of summer or fall of 28, somewhere around there.
Okay, so we're still several years away, but people will see it happening. And...
yeah, we're a long ways off yet, but hey, you know, we're closer yet today than we were yesterday. So.
And for the 1,000 people that are going to ask the question, the reason you can't make changes to the design to add features, amenities, and benefits is because FEMA will only cover replacing things exactly as they were before the storm that destroyed them, right?
And that is very correct.
Perfect. Beulah Interchange. I have not heard anything about the Beulah Interchange in what seems like a long time. Are we still on track for 53 years from now, we're going to get this project done?
We are. Yeah, we're on track. It's moving forward. It's, you know, all the things that have to happen with these types of projects, the design, the permitting. And, you know, I heard the mayor commiserating yesterday a little bit about the length of time it takes to get some of these projects off the ground.
Yeah.
And this is a large-scale project. It involves federal funds and federal permits and all these things. So it does take some time to get it off the ground. And I would say that in addition to the interchange project, you're going to see the county itself is doing a large project there on Beulah Road, north of there, to a road realignment, road reconstruction, landfill expansion. I mean, there's going to be a lot of activity going on there on Beulah Road within the next year and a half, 2 years.
Yeah, I know there's some stuff about the landfill on the agenda, but the long-term plan is to dramatically expand the footprint of the landfill. And what I cannot remember, you and I have talked about this, just remind me, is the plan to have a second landfill on the other side of Beulah Road, or is the plan to have Beulah Road realigned and keep it on the same side in its larger footprint? What is the plan there?
Yeah, we've gone through several iterations. We are going to be on the opposite side of the road.
Okay.
The road realignment's not going to be as significant as we once envisioned.
Okay.
We've worked to try to minimize that. And so our focus is going to be on some safety upgrades and some full reconstruction of the roadway to be able to handle all the heavy axle loads that are coming through there. If you go through there right now, you'll see that the road's in terrible condition. From just that.
Yeah.
And so we're going to address some of those issues and make it a lot safer, make it, give it a lot more life expectancy. But, yeah, the expansion will be on the east side of Beulah Road.
And I know it's not your project, but ECUA is also building that transfer station. The road now, I forget which road it is, but down the way that...
Godwin Lane.
Thank you. And when that happens, that will also improve the damage to the road because you won't have as many of the trucks driving all the way up to the landfill that just drive to the transfer station, right? So that's a collaboration.
Yeah, I think that's... it could be. I don't know. I'm not sure how much impact that's going to have.
Okay.
I think they're trying to do it to save some miles on some of their trucks. And
sure.
Maybe be a little more efficient with routing, but we'll see how that turns out.
You and I talked about it a month ago when you were going to have the discussion. There wasn't much discussion, but tonight is going to deal with both the median ordinance, changing it from 6 feet to 8.5 feet that you cannot stand on unless you are actively crossing the road. That's to align with FDOT. The public camping ordinance is basically dropping the mentions of overnight because I assume that's a difficult to enforce when you have to prove overnight. Is that basically the two changes?
Yeah, it gives us a little more leeway, hopefully, to make a difference in the community. And I want to say this, too. I appreciate the Sheriff's Department. I appreciate Chip Simmons and his staff. They're always willing to work with us. And, you know, we've gone at this thing a couple of times. But because it's a burden for us, it's a burden for the citizens, and I know it's a burden for the sheriff's department as well. And we would just want to be as amenable as we can. And so we've worked with some of their staff. We feel like these changes will help all of us. But I do appreciate them working with us. And Chip, as always, is a great partner in all these initiatives. And so I just want to say I appreciate that.
Great. No, and it's true. I mean, you know, what the commission wants is enforceable ordinances. And if the sheriff can't enforce an ordinance because it's not clear or like there's confusion about the truth of the status of the beach in Perdido or whatever, then the commissioners, you know, cannot get what they were elected to do done because, you know, the two parts aren't working together. So I'm glad to hear that everybody's working together on this stuff. And I totally agree with that sentiment. We're talking to Wes Moreno, Escambia County Administrator. Wes, hang on for just a second. Let's get traffic from John Pickens.
That's right. No accidents to report to you. It looks like Highway 2990. And even 98 are back flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Like I said, a lot of stuff on the agenda. One that caught my attention is the pop-up car sales ordinance changes. When I read this, I couldn't tell if this was to liberalize the policy or to further restrict the policy. I thought we already had a kind of a ban on pop-up sales. Like, you have to be affiliated with a dealership in order to sell cars as a retail operation in Escambia County. You can still sell out of your house, your personal. But what prompted this, and what is the change going to make?
So a couple months ago, we had a pop-up event at the fairgrounds. It showed up at the fairgrounds. And it created much consternation among some of the car dealers as you would expect. And then when we got to looking into it, you know, the event goes, well, we're not really selling here off the lot. We're selling online.
We're just
showing them.
So
what they were doing was, yeah, they got the cars there, and they put QR codes on the windshields. And so you would go by, scan the QR code. It would take you to a site where you would do all the financial transactions there online, if you will, and then you would drive the car off the lot. And so what this is trying to do is try to address that type of activity to where, you know, legitimately, you know, there's always a way around an ordinance or a policy.
Yeah, it's clever.
But we're trying to tighten it up a little bit to make it a little more enforceable and a little more obvious that, no, you can't do that. And so that's what we're trying to do.
And I think part of the rule now is there is an exemption for up to 3 cars to be sold, not from your personal property. You know, that's to allow people who might otherwise say, well, you're preventing me from, you know, selling cars, which a lot of people do like to buy and sell cars just in small amounts. The one thing that I read when I read the ordinance, and this just may be because I'm not a lawyer, it didn't sound like there was still a right to sell the car from your own home, like it was hinted at in the way the ordinance is being rewritten, but I wasn't sure that that was super clear. That just may be something to have Allison take a peek at to make sure that I'm not reading it wrong. But yeah, I'm very interested in that conversation today and to kind of see what happens here. This is kind of a small thing, but maybe it's not. The acquisition of the Chavers Pond, it's like, what, 30 plus acres at Softley Field? It's
About 35 acres, yeah.
Yeah, and this is, help me understand, they're donating the land, and the it runs all along the eastern edge of Softley Field in a strip up from Bellevue Avenue, and then it runs all the way up to the corner where there's all these big water. How does this help us, and is this going to be a cost to us to use and utilize? I mean, it's hard to imagine Chavers just doing us a kindness, but that's why I'm asking you. What does this do for us, and what is it going to cost us, if anything?
Well, what it does for us is, I know County Engineer Joel Blackman and her staff have some plans for drainage in that area. I mean, okay, we hear that area talked about all the time, Muldoon, Hogan's Pit, Bellevue Avenue, Softley Field, all of those, Velma Pond, all those areas over there. And this will give us another opportunity to convert that into a retention pond or holding pond and help us solve some of the drainage issues in that area.
What does Chavers get out of it? I mean, why are they willing to just give us this property? That's my question.
I'm not sure why they're willing to just give us the property. If I had to guess, and this is just strictly a guess,
yeah,
they have come to the point, and maybe they've done an assessment internally, and they say, you know, we don't really need this. or maybe there's not any usable
fill dirt or whatever.
RO.
Yeah.
Fit dirt, you know, in it, or maybe it's time to reclaim the pond or what have you. But maybe it's just a liability on their books. But for us, when we looked at it, we said, you know what, we really do have a use for this. We think we can do some good things with it. And so that's why we're moving forward with it.
Okay. I was just curious. You know, obviously they'll avoid the property taxes, I assume, too. Is, you know, like you said, it's a thing on their books. But hey, if it benefits us and it benefits them, I mean, those are the kind of things you want to see happen. Pleasant Grove Fire Station, I think that's 14. You got the contract to actually vote on. This is a replacement, right? This is not a new one. This is to replace the one that's over there on Gulf Beach Highway, the Southern Spur.
Yeah, it's not a new addition. It is to rebuild, replace, or however you want to say it, the one that exists.
Will it be operational during the reconstruction, or is this like it's going to shut down for a while and reopen?
We've already shifted some things around, and so it won't. The building itself will not be operational. No.
Okay.
That and Myrtle Grove. I mean, we're going to demo those buildings and rebuild them. So.
Okay.
We've had to make some internal adjustments, and we're making those adjustments.
I know it's a small one. It's just kind of on my radar. I live in the area, and I know it was such a huge discussion. The residents around Monarch Place and the drainage mm-hmm. and the water flow and all of the big improvements that have been done, like the big park that got converted to a retention pond over there on Sarah. As I read it, it's an easement behind three of the homes on the southeastern corner of Monarch Place, and the idea there is somehow or other drainage is not working quite right, and we need to get the water to the pipes that are going to get it to Sarah, and this is what we need for the easement. Am I thinking about this the right way?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
You're right on.
Okay, so that just facilitates, we realize this is a better way to process the water across Royal and to save, you know, both Monarch and some of the other areas that have historically flooded there. So, very good. The Pensacola Beach Gateway, you guys are going to be, this is the demolition of the old toll on Bob Sykes. The enactment of a new toll structure, a gantry is how you've kind of described it to me. This is a funding thing to get it paid for. Do we know what it's going to look like yet? You and I have talked quite a bit about this in the past because obviously appearance is a big deal, but do we know what it's going to look like yet?
Well, it's going to look like a gantry system. We're going to try to coordinate it with some surrounding infrastructure that's there, some of the CUA water towers and those sorts of things.
Oh, like Dolphin Blue kind of thing? Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, that's the goal.
Okay.
And then, there is a landscape portion to it and a sidewalk. And I think when we get done with all of it, I think it's going to be night and day. I think everybody that comes through is going to be extremely happy if they slow down long enough to look at it, because everybody's trying to get to the water.
Right. So you won't have people confused about how they are or are not supposed to slow down because they feel like they should when they're entering a toll plaza, but they don't really have to right now, and that still causes problems, right?
Absolutely.
New ECAT director, Thaddeus Davenport.
Yeah, Thaddeus has been holding the steering wheel for a while. He's been doing a good job. He's accomplished some good things since being in that role. And so we're gonna make the move to make him permanent. And then coming behind that, we're advertising for a deputy director and some other positions over there. Part of the metamorphosis, if you will, of transformation of ECAT. And hopefully a great improvement. I think I got confidence in Thaddeus. He's been great to work with. He knows transit backwards and forwards. So we're happy about it, and I'm looking forward to seeing that pass tonight.
One of the other, and I am too. I mean, especially if I assume he's comfortable with, happy about, supportive of the microtransit role, kind of the shifting of the
Absolutely.
Shape of ECAT.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, you wouldn't be putting him in that job if he wasn't, right? So,
right.
You guys have gotten a little bit of attention for there's an offshore drilling letter. I think that's kind of a formality, but it's a good thing to send. You're going to have a Bay Center study report. I mean, you got a lot of stuff going on today. You're going to have some internal revisions to your HR policy and part and paid time off. But also, and this is maybe a small one, but it caught my attention. You're doing a memorandum of understanding with Escambia County Fire Rescue and Patty Marine so that they can learn how to fight fires during the shipbuilding process. Is this a thinking ahead to Project MAVE at the port? Is this something that's just been needed to be done for a while? What's the nature of the genesis of this?
We've done, this is an agreement we've had for years.
Oh, okay.
With Patty, with Frank Patty Jr. there. Just a great partnership, enclosed space training for us, and it helps them on their safety ratings as well. But no, we've been doing this for quite some time.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity for us and for Patty Marine as well.
Outstanding. Oh, my God. We had 16 on the list. We got to 15. That's amazing.
I got one more thing. I got one more thing for you.
Oh, yeah, please do.
So David Haru, our CMR director, tonight will be his last meeting.
Oh.
He's retiring. And so we wish him well as he goes off and pursues whatever endeavors he pursues. But he's been a great employee. He's been a great CMR director. He's just been great to the board, very loyal. He's done a lot of good work through the years. And so I just want to say we appreciate him and wish him well.
Yeah, David's fantastic. You know, the best thing about David is he loves his show.
Absolutely.
No, he's fantastic, and it is going to be sad to see him go. But is Andy going to take over that job, Andy Gibson, or are you going to looking to hire somebody else?
Actually, Casey will step in, and we'll merge some things internally, and Casey Lagarde will probably be the new director.
Oh, and by the way, this is one item we didn't mention is that because of the thing that happened with Casey and the video on the USB stick at one of the recent meetings, one of the new policies you're going to put in place, the board is going to put in place, is that it's going to be 24 hours ahead that you've got to submit any video that you want to do at open forum. So people, I assume participants in the process will want to know that going forward, that they're going to need to submit those things a day ahead. Do I have that right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And it makes perfect sense.
You know.
Given the broadcast nature of the thing,
protocol.
I mean, it makes perfect sense. Yeah. Very good. Wes Moreno, as always, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for running fast with me and covering a lot of stuff, and we'll look forward to the meeting today. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. We'll see you now. Have a good one.
You bet. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
That's right. Well, we've just had a major accident happen on I-10 eastbound right past exit 7 around mile marker number 9, and traffic is already starting to back up already. I recommend that you get off on exit 7 and go around that. One vehicle is rolled over and one is in the median. So it's going to be a while for that one. Again, traffic is backing up. That's I-10 eastbound. Let's see here. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
You know, John, I sometimes tell people that on my show every day, I publish a newspaper single-handedly.
You do, actually.
I think that interview would be published in a newspaper single-handedly.
Oh, I know.
I cannot believe we got to all that. That's great. I'm Andrew McKay.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include 2 times Tuesday, 6 free shrimp added to the 6-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimptastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
The holidays keep getting bigger and better at Daryl Sewing of Pensacola. Daryl Sewing is the largest sewing machine dealer in the Pensacola area. Their holiday sale is happening now with 25% off of a number of Bernina and Burnett accessories, including a special offer on select Burnett machines. Financing is available. Find the perfect stocking stuffers for the sewer or crafter on your list. Daryl Sewing, 6705 North Davis Highway between Creighton and Burgess. Online at sewinginpensacola.com.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. Did you know that Florida recently passed a major tort reform package? The legislature reduced Florida's general injury statute of limitations from 4 years to 2 years. They limited attorney's fees and homeowners' lawsuits, which could adversely affect homeowners. For any injury claim, call me, Terrence A. Gross, at 850-434-3333 or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other show. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Call Jeff Wayne to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I am the Lorax. I speak for the trees.
Sounds like Aerosmith to me. David Wayne's in the newsroom with a quick headline or two for us. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. Attorney General Pam Bondi says the oil tanker seized by the U.S. off the coast of Venezuela was used to transport sanctioned oil to Iran. In a post on X yesterday, Bondi said the ship had been sanctioned for years over its involvement.
She also has previously said that troops shouldn't obey illegal orders.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3, WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.